Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. Now Craig, you and I were chatting off mic, and actually I've been chatting to a few people even today, just saying, look, we are in the middle of summer doldrums here for trading, really across the board, but this also ties very perfectly, really, into the precious metals. So I wanted to chat big picture with you regarding the precious metals, because the environment that we're in right now, you would think, hearing from a lot of the gold bugs out there, that this would be one of the best times for gold to run higher. We have inflation continuing to surprise on the upside. We have yields continuing to fall, or at least at lower levels than they were compared to 6 months ago, that type of time frame. Inflation expectations, those are also remaining high, at least for the near term. Fine, you can look at the dollar, and the dollar has bounced a little bit, but the dollar's still in the low 90s, so that's not, I think, a major headwind. But gold, what have we seen in gold? Over about 3 weeks of trading, we've seen gold move up about $75. That's all right. The stocks haven't done anything, and that has a lot of the gold bugs concerned, because usually we like to see the stocks leading the metal higher. We've seen too many environments over the last few years of gold moving up and the stocks not doing anything, and then gold giving up those gains. So, Craig, why isn't gold moving higher when we're seeing this environment in other markets seemingly showing that this should be a good environment for gold?
Well, I guess I'm going to see if I can go backward. I was just lamenting, as I often do, in my daily podcast, TF Metals Report, just yesterday, how I pulled up the daily chart of gold, the daily chart of silver, and then the daily chart of the GDX. And as you mentioned, gold has recovered. I mean, it went down $100, and now it's recovered about two-thirds of that over the last 3 weeks. Caught a double bottom, right, at the end of last month, and now has rallied nicely. But silver, remarkably, really, has gone sideways. This since falling, it's now 4 weeks ago, Corey, after that FOMC, silver's been in basically a 50-cent range ever since, kind of hugging support at 26 and the 200-day moving average, but never, I mean, anytime it gets above 26.50, smash back. Very unusual in that, I mean, you pull up a daily chart of silver over the last year and find another four-week period we're in a 50-cent range. It's weird. It's weird. But again, back to the shares then. You look at the GDX, is the GDX, if last time I checked, Corey, and maybe you can confirm this, the GDX is an ETF of major gold miners, right?
That is correct, and royalty companies.
Okay. Then what I can't understand is why the chart of the GDX looks like the chart of silver and not gold. And I guess eventually that gets to my, I guess if I'm making a point, It's the malaise. It is the lack of human beings that are trading. It's just simply computer-driven, HFT-driven trading. And there are machines that just simply trade the shares every day and trade the metals every day, taking their cues from the COMEX trading. And then and that's how you get a chart that looks like silver rather than gold. We see this now play out every day too, a lot of times in very light volume, that the only thing that matters are how these machines perceive the trade. And a lot of days, today excluded, fortunately, gold and silver almost move tick for tick inversely with the dollar, as if nothing else matters. And you see this a lot of time in the shares too. A lot of times the shares, you pull up, like I got an app on my phone, the Yahoo Finance app that gives you little charts intraday. And a lot of times you'll see, I mean, you have a major gold producer, streamer, a junior producer, a silver producer, a silver royalty company, and they all have the exact same chart. And you're like, what, are there no fundamentals here? And that's kind of what we're stuck with. I think, if you'd have told me back in January when I forecasted another, 15, 20% move in gold this year, we may still get there. But if you'd have told me back in January that we'd be here in July, and the 10-year note would be yielding 130, but the annualized inflation rate would be over 5%. I'm like you. I'd have thought we'd already hit my target of 2,300. And the fact that we're, you know, banging around here, actually down $60 or $70 on the year is remarkable. And so at the end of the day, I think what I draw this back to is this lack of human interest, actual participation. Open interest has come in a little bit on gold lately, but it's still below 500,000 contracts. Open interest in silver is like 155. So there's just not anybody really interested in buying gold and silver. Now, whether that's just at the end of the day, people playing wait and see, you know, do they buy this transitory stuff or not? And so people are just on the sidelines. I don't know. Having it be summer, as you mentioned, doesn't help. And in the end, we just got to wait until enough actual human beings begin to understand that this whole transitory stuff is just a jawboning narrative of yield curve control and not an actual a forecast of inflation.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair, Craig. You know what? You are right. We don't have a bunch of people saying you need to be trading into gold right now. There is not that retail or institutional following that feels compelled to be buying right now. And yeah, I guess you are stuck with a lot of these HFT traders that are providing just any volume. But again, that doesn't drive the market necessarily. But Craig, the argument I've been getting recently from some generalists, and I think it is valid, but I want to hear your thoughts on it, is that, look, gold went through a massive run last year after that COVID crash. That was when all the spending came out. That's when everybody was expecting inflation. So maybe this inflation was already priced in, and that's what everyone was expecting as gold ran up towards that $2,100 level. Now that this inflation's here, we almost need another driver or another almost kick in the pants to get people excited about the sector again, maybe outside of inflation.
Dude, I don't know. I mean, that I know where those guys are coming from, but I mean, so they're projecting forward 12 months in the gold price?
They say markets are forward looking, right? Markets maybe are telling us, at least right now, that inflation is going to be transitory.
Well, and then you got, you know, again, here you get the market banging around 4 weeks ago because all of a sudden three Fed governors decided that they might want to hike rates in 18 months instead of 21. So maybe there's a point there. Maybe that's now, you know, in the instant gratification, now we're buying issues and headlines from 18 months from now. I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I at the end of the day, I don't know, Corey, there's definitely something to this discounting of present day. I will give those guys that. Because at the present time, the current buyer of the 10-year treasury note at this moment, when they are buying them, is accepting about a negative 4% real yield. Okay, so you'll take that this year, I guess, if you think that over the next 9 years, inflation's going back to zero or deflation and your 1.3% coupon looks pretty good. And so that's the only really outside of, you know, the Fed buying $80 billion a month. What other rationale could any thinking human being use in providing demand and desire to own a U.S. 10-year treasury at 130? So, yeah, so there's a lot of forward thinking going on here, and maybe that's all part of it. But, you know, you go back last summer, 10-year treasury was 55, 60 basis points. So it wasn't necessarily too forward thinking. I don't know, Corey. That's one way to look at it. I'm not going to say those guys are right or wrong. What I'd say more than anything, we need to get those very same generalists excited about owning gold again. And as long as it remains where it is, we'll just leave it to say where it is, and not up on the year. When you've got so many other asset classes. Hold on, let me put it this way. When you got so many other equities, not necessarily asset classes, when you got so many equities that are performing far better, it's like, you know, no one has the patience to look at the macro and hold on when you could instead, you know, buy yourself some whatever today's hot stock is. I don't know. It's just kind of a screwy time. There's no question about it as we wait to see how this all plays out over the next couple of months.
So, Craig, what about the stocks and these majors? Because the majors are building up cash positions. They're still generating some nice financial numbers, and they're still not getting the love, right? But you would think that some generalists would say, hey, look at the value here. Problem being, unless those analysts still think, look, maybe there's some more downside in gold, so maybe this is the peak of their financial reporting or financial results here. What do you take away from the lack of movement in the majors?
Yeah, you know, that was all part of the fun last year, was that quarter over quarter, year over year, you know, comparing back to 2019, were, you know, fabulous numbers because, you know, price was always going to be 10, 15% higher versus the time, you know, where we were a year ago. Now, this year, it's not quite that. You know, we're going to have this earnings season of that's going to start here in a couple of weeks, comparing versus the second quarter last year, which will still look pretty good, but the third quarter are not going to look so great because third quarter last year, you know, we're banging around up there north of 2,000. Now, I think, and I think we talked about this last week too, Corey, we get so focused, at least I do, on just the miners as a sector and the lack of interest in the underperformance. But man, there are a lot of sectors and a lot of individual equities across the S&P 500 or the Russell 2000 that stink on ice. You know, everybody looks at the Dow or the S&P and they see the gains this year and without really critically thinking about how that's really just a handful of stocks that are driving it. You know, it just keeps getting bid higher and higher and the momentum just keeps driving them higher and higher and higher. And all these other sectors get left off. You mentioned value. Yeah, no doubt there's value with the cash flow that the mining sector is generating. But nobody gives a damn about value at this point. All anybody wants is growth. And so I don't know if it's so much that the mining sector is hated or anything like that. I just think that there's a general lack of interest or an indifference to the mining sector and a whole bunch of other sectors because they appear to be dead money versus, you know, investing in Tesla or, you know, whatever your favorite tech company is.
Well, that's the thing, right? Some of these tech companies or some of these other companies that have driven markets and in all fairness done quite a bit better than a lot of these mining shares, they are being looked at almost as the safe haven type of investment, or at least the investment of when people leave their desks, why not put it in big tech? Big tech seems to do just fine. Precious metals aren't looked at that way. Resources in general don't seem to be looked at that way.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you. Now, there's some advantage, I guess, at least as long as price holds in there, that maybe there's not so much downside in the shares from here.
I've talked to so many people that say, look, the shares are on sale, but they've been saying that for weeks.
Yeah, yeah. And all they've done is get worse. And like I said, it's like nobody, and when you can see these correlations like this, you know, as I mentioned earlier, whether they're, you know, gold, silver, individual equities, or just how much the GDX chart and the GDXJ for that matter looks like silver for some reason, then that just tells you right there. I mean, there's just nobody in there. That it's a totally overlooked and forgotten sector. And that's for a number of reasons. Hey, you know, if I'm right, and at some point in the next several months, couple of months, the market wakes up and realizes that this transitory thing is not transitory. And we get the dollar falls or, you know, and because dollar looks like it's kind of rolling over a little bit here. All these different factors combined to get a surge in the precious metals. And from starting where we are, we should get a nice move in the shares. But, you know, how many ifs, ands, and buts did I just throw at you in about a 90-second answer, Corey? And I don't know, maybe from a contrarian standpoint, that's a good point, too. We'll see.
Yeah. Hey, fair enough, Craig. Look, there's not much more to cover here other than seems like this is a good environment for the precious metals outside of the fact that, yeah, I guess everyone's ignoring a lot of the data and ignoring the sector. But who knows? Maybe we're just setting up for that whole other leg higher. We just really need to see some more action in the shares. I think that's the biggest takeaway here is that let's get some more bigger money or any money, quite frankly, into these shares in more of a broad sense so that more people can see their portfolio moving higher and it's not just a couple select few metal stocks that are holding the market up. But hey, in all fairness, that's what's happening in the U.S. markets too. But hey, Craig, we'll chat again next week. We'll see where gold is. Who knows? Maybe it's in the exact same spot. Maybe the shares are in the same spot, or maybe we get some more volatility and some more moves that give us a little bit more clarity on future direction here. Craig, thanks as always, buddy. I'll post a link to your website. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you, my friend, and you do the same.